Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bet. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, discussing the 2022 FIFA World Cup and what a tournament it has been. So many surprises so far. And here to unpack everything with me is Chadley Nagel as well as Desh Patab. Gentlemen, good to have you back in the Hit the Target studio. It's been an excellent World Cup, full of twists and turns. We don't know what's coming next. Happy with what you've seen so far, Chad?
Well, not so much because I'm a Germany fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big lover of the Germans. So, yeah, that result was obviously disappointing for me. But in terms of the World Cup so far, I think it's been good. Mm-hmm. I think there's upsets are always welcomed on the global stage, and I think it's gonna be difficult to really get your hands on the trophy this time because the so-called lesser sides are punching above their weight, and I think it promises to be a good tournament according to what we've seen so far.
Yeah, let's stay on the topic of Group E then, Desh, because Chad spoke about Germany. Obviously, they lost 2-1 to Germany. Spain in that same group beat Costa Rica 7-0. Now Spain and Germany are up next on Sunday, and based on how the first game went, so the first round of matches, you sort of expect Spain to win, and then sort of that leaves Germany with the possibility of going out before they even play their third game. Of course, it depends on how Japan do against Costa Rica.
Yeah, the fact that that is a possibility is absolutely wild. I know the Spanish outfit came out of the blocks flying. Mm-hmm. Obviously 7 goals, but besides that, they recorded 1,045 passes.
Yeah, that's a joke.
1,045 passes. That is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I think the first half was 400 and something. Mm-hmm. That being a new record
in the World Cup.
In the World Cup, yeah, that sure. No team has made that many passes in the first half. Mm-hmm. Earlier that day, Germany did make it, mm-hmm. but it was absolutely smashed by Spain, who made more than 100 than them in that first half.
Crazy.
Yeah, Costa Rica had 0 shots. Just tells you everything about that Spanish side.
Yeah,
so it looks like they really are the ones to progress. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, it's how they fare against Germany. That is looking like a must win for Germany.
It's a big task for Germany. Also, because I expect Japan to get a positive result over Costa Rica. I'm very confident that they will win. So it makes it even more of a mammoth task for Germany to qualify, because we know that Spain are all but, qualified.
Right now, yeah.
And especially even if it were to come down to goal difference, or, Spain just have the quality, and they've got the good goal difference, having scored 7 goals already. And, there was much said about Spain's attacking play. People criticized Spain when we are looking at the contenders at the start of the World Cup. We are looking at Spain and we are like, yes, this team, you can never write them off. They have a quality in their side. The likes of Sergio Busquets, the up-and-coming players like Gavi and Pedri, no one doubted their quality, but many felt like they lacked a little bit of bite up front. But that's not proven to be the case because, scoring 7 goals,
you don't do that with terrible attacks.
Yeah, and you don't see that at the World Cup. I mean, I remember, I think it could have been the 2002 World Cup where Germany actually beat Saudi Arabia 8-0. Scoring like these types of score lines is just unheard of.
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
So can we safely say on this podcast that Germany will not progress through past the group stage? Desh?
For me, it would have to be how Leroy Sané performs. He didn't play yesterday, and he's a big player. They have been fielding Musiala and Kai Havertz in attack. I'm not sure if that's the best decision right now. Obviously, the Bayern-based players just know where their goals are.
Yeah.
Obviously, that being formerly
former Arsenal. Yeah. So, are you not saying Germany or
if they play Leroy Sané and Serge Gnabry, I'm sure they'll carry the attack further than where Musiala and Havertz, what they're doing right now.
Well, for me, obviously, I hope I'm wrong, but I think it will be an early exit for Germany because had they at least drawn that game, I think, yes, okay, then at least they have a point on the board. But, Spain are going to win. And then it leaves them needing 3 points and relying on other results. And it's just, yeah, it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Let's speak about Spain's chances then, because we were debating off-air. They've got a young team. Chad, you've mentioned the likes of Gavi and Pedri. It also shows what a statement Luis Enrique has made, because everyone criticized at the start. Chad, you mentioned the attacking options that's left behind, but in midfield, Thiago's not there. At the back, Sergio Ramos isn't there. He chose to go with, you know, an unpopular squad. And first game, 7-0. Next game, who knows what they could do. They could hand Germany an early exit. How far can this team go in the World Cup?
Well, I think, you know, the Spain, we always expect them to be up there, you know, competing for the World Cup. But I do think that they've made a... It was a statement victory. You know, it wasn't just... like
they couldn't have done more.
Yeah, we knew that they were going to, you know... To breeze through, breeze past their opponents, Costa Rica. But it was just the manner of the results. You know, they have quality. You know, you talk about youth, and Luis Enrique deserving some credit. Arguably the best manager at the World Cup, by the way. Luis Enrique. And I think also, I think that Spain have the right blend of youth and experience. You know, we mentioned the likes of Ferran, Pedri, Gavi, there's Ferran Torres, there's, there's youth players, but they're not really up and comers. They like really like, they've done something, you know, like many of them. And I think also with the experience, you know, the steel of, Sergio Busquets in midfield, you've got, Cesar Azpilicueta at the back.
Rodri.
Rodri. I think, yeah, it's, I think this team, I think, yeah, they can go all the way. I really think so. I don't expect them to do it, but I, you just can't rule them out after performances like that.
Des, Chad mentioned one of the best coaches, of course, at the World Cup is Luis Enrique. But another name we sort of have to mention when we talk about spectacular coaches is Herve Renard. His Saudi Arabia squad, or team rather, beats Argentina in probably the biggest shock of the opening round of fixtures. What's your thoughts on Saudi Arabia, but more importantly, Argentina and their chances?
You know, TikTok was absolutely... taken over by Saudi Arabia's victory. I believe their president or like the royalty over there declared a national holiday, public holiday, the very next day. That just goes to show how powerful sport is and what a result can do for not only you, but your country, nation. 11 players and a coach, I don't think he's Saudi. Don't quote me on that, but it's not so, but that just goes to show what 11 players and, you know, staff can do for entire nation. Argentina didn't score from open play. I think Messi's penalty was
soft.
But they let the lead slip. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I
it was a come from behind victory.
Because that Argentina scored, of course, they scored first. And then they were pegged back to 1-1. And then they just didn't kick on from there. It was all Saudi Arabia after that. And for me, that's worrying signs, because you look at France and how they went one a goal down to Australia. And, you know, just the
bounced
other teams.
Back,
yeah, just the other teams who...
Spain were three up. Didn't stop. Didn't take their foot off the pedal.
And I feel like that's what could hold Argentina back if they do make it to the latter stages. I don't think they will, though.
Well, before I dive into my thoughts on Argentina, I have to pay respect to Herve Renard. You said Herve Renard, a quality manager. Nice to see, you know, nice to see him take on the task of coaching a side like Saudi Arabia, who have a shambolic record in the World Cup. You know, they've got a couple 3-0, 5-0, 8-0 scores, score lines in the past. A lot of people, you know, saw them as the whipping boys in the group, and no doubt about it that Argentina probably went into that game thinking it just probably expecting to win before a ball was even kicked off, and they paid the price for it. I think Herve Renard, just pay respect to him. What a fantastic manager. I think any coach who can win an AFCON with Zambia deserves massive credit, and he's a two-time winner, by the way. He's won it with Ivory Coast as well, so he's used to working with top players. Club, his record at club level wasn't so great, so I think he's a good international manager.
This is
where he shines, and I think Saudi Arabia could could surprise even more in the tournament. I really think so.
Yeah, I think definitely a team to look out for, a nation to keep your eyes on.
As for Argentina, though, I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of I just look at this team and I think I see enormous potential, but there's a lot of questions that like, you know, just there's just some decisions by the manager that just leave me puzzled. Like Lionel Messi, obviously he's a forward player, everybody knows that. For his country, understandable, he sits deep. But it's like, at the same time, you look at the balls that come into that penalty area, and you would want to see Messi on the end of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lautaro Martinez is a good player, but it's just not the same. Di Maria, also, I felt like he was drifting too much on the wide instead of, like, coming closer to Messi and you know, trying to create something through the middle. They were just one-dimensional, Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't want to be too hard on them because, you know, prior to that game, they were 36 games unbeaten. Mm. So, you know, you just can't write them off. You know the quality that they have. I'd like to see them bounce back for Messi's sake.
Yeah. Desh, one team that's also made huge headlines in the opening round was England, of course. They're always making headlines for positive and negative reasons. But this time it was a positive reason. They won against Iran. They beat them 6-2. Bukayo Saka scoring a brace, a couple of other goals as well. What's your take on them? Because obviously to score 6 goals is quite impressive, but many people are looking at the negatives, which they often do when it comes to England, and so they probably shouldn't have conceded 2 goals.
Yeah, I actually want to start on the forward that scored his 2 goals, Mehdi Taremi. Put some respect on his name. Yeah. Like, honestly, to get a brace against a team that's...
I don't know why. I thought you were going to say Saka.
Saka, but really...
Two goals, because that's the name that stood out.
So, I see. But that just goes to show, and I'm sure the viewers as well.
Yeah.
Guys, the Iranian forward, Mehdi Taremi, is really not one to be trifled with. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been in the headlines. He plays for Porto, but I've watched him and his quality.
Yeah.
The last year, I think they played against Juventus, knocking them out. I think Ronaldo's in that team at that, or was it? It might have been the year before.
Yeah.
But he's really one to watch for those punters out there that'll be looking.
Anytime goal scorer against USA and Wales.
For the rest of the tournament, not even like really. But John, England, one thing has to be like, I'm really, really happy that so many different players.
Mm.
Big names, you know, for Premier League punters, big names. You know, you got your Rashfords, Grealish, very important goal for him. Sterling, obviously, getting on the score sheet. As you said, the Saka brace, he looks very important.
Mm-hmm.
Jude Bellingham opening the scoring.
Yeah,
I think opening his account for the three Lions as well.
Yeah, very good.
But no Harry Kane.
Well, he's a doubt. He's a massive doubt.
But I mean, they scored 6 goals without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for years, he was there. The number one, you know, of course it's Tottenham, undisputed, but for England,
if England scores 6 goals, you expect to see Harry Kane on the score sheet.
Definitely. Very, very shocking for me. Yeah. As you said, he is a doubt. So, but the players are stepping up.
Yeah.
You know,
So what do you do on that Harry Kane note? What do you do if Harry Kane, your top striker, isn't injured? Or let's just say he's touch and go. England have 3 points from a possible 3 already. Do you switch it up? We've seen Manchester City play Phil Foden as that false 9, or Jack Grealish, or Raheem Sterling, actually for England in the past, has played in that false 9 position. Is that something you would do, or would you bring a Callum Wilson who...
For me, it'll be straight swap Rashford. I think he's itching
but
for...
He's come on and scored as well. Yeah. I mean, he'll be ready for an opportunity to impress from
the
start.
You like that, Chad? Rashford as a 9?
I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like a false 9. Maybe because I was a striker when I used to play soccer. I prefer a target man. And I think Harry Kane is obviously world-class, one of the best in his position in the world, but...
Would it be Callum Wilson or Marcus Rashford?
For me, maybe Marcus Rashford has more of a case because he is playing in that position for Manchester United, and he did come on and actually score. He looked lively, and I know you'll be hungry for and hoping for an opportunity to impress from the start. I just think Callum Wilson...
It's
more of a like for like with Kane. Like, don't get me wrong, Harry Kane is light years ahead of him, but I just think that... It's just more of a similar mold in terms of a target man, and I just think I'd like to see Callum Wilson in, but I think I have a feeling it'll be Rashford if Kane isn't ready.
Of course, at the time of recording, we haven't seen every single nation play yet. I still feel like we are yet to see the champions of this World Cup play. Of course, this is a Thursday podcast, and Portugal or Brazil haven't played. I think one of the winners will come from them.
A lot of people are saying the World Cup starts today.
I think the World Cup starts today. In fact, we got to get this podcast wrapped up so we can go back to our TVs. But, Chad, has your opinion changed on who you think is going to win the World Cup now?
Based on
the first round of fixtures.
So for those of the listeners who don't know, my prediction at the start of the tournaments is Brazil. And not only has my opinion not changed, but I think I've got more confidence watching the games go on. And this is without even seeing Brazil. I'm looking at opposition. I'm looking at Argentina, who don't look the same. Germany look beatable. Spain are good. France obviously are contenders as well, but without the likes of Karim Benzema, N'Golo Kante, Paul Pogba, I just think you even mentioning Portugal and that's kind of kind. I just feel like Brazil can win this tournament in first gear. That's how much quality they have. Like we spoke about it in last week's podcast, the amount of quality that they have for a coach like Tite to even leave out the likes of Arsenal's defender Gabriel. Gabriel and also Roberto Firmino from Liverpool. To leave out those players, that's just the quality.
And you know, it's funny, I don't think they'll miss those players, and I feel like those players could add so much quality to an England squad, a Netherlands squad, an Argentina squad.
Start for like a lot of top countries.
100%. I think we were recording the soccer betting news video earlier this week, and I said, you know, Ayanda Vezi asked me who I think, if my opinion's changed, and I said, Brazil, you look at their goalkeeping departments. You could argue that Alisson's the best goalkeeper in the world right now. Thiago Silva is probably the best defender in the tournament. The midfield of Bruno Guimarães, Paqueta, those players will, Casemiro, they'll dominate dominate any midfield. And then Neymar, I feel like this is his time to make himself great and put himself amongst the Pelés, Rivaldos, and Ronaldos.
But then you've got the likes of Vinicius, you've got the likes of Gabriel, Gabriel Jesus and Martinelli. Martinelli. There's just so much quality that they have. They can actually field out two teams and pick the second one, the least favorable one, and they'll still get the job done.
You know what I'm dying to hear? I'm dying to hear Desha's opinion, because off air he's been quite vocal that, you know, he doesn't share the same sentiments as the rest of the world. But Desh, just tell our listeners who's going to win the World Cup and why.
Well, I'm not a betting man. You shouldn't follow my lead on that. But I would say they would go far, but I can't see them winning. That's what I'm saying. Both coaches are very experienced. Like, they've been with their respective countries for probably like several.
Some time now.
Portugal. That manager lifting silverware as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's got some big trophies in the bag.
Nations League, actually.
Yeah. Obviously, he's got his star striker as well, having just parted ways with England's Manchester United.
I think he's more happier now.
I think he's got more to prove now, and I think his exit at Man United couldn't have been more timely, because now
he's auditioning for another club.
That statement, but at the same time, it's so unfortunate that we have to even say that Cristiano Ronaldo has something to prove.
No,
and I do get what you mean, and I understand it, but it's just like, you know, a player of that caliber. I mean, what does he really have to prove? Like, it's so unfortunate. Like, people are looking at, like, you know, a lot of what's happening behind the scenes and the rift between Manchester United and Cristiano Ronaldo. But if we're talking football, this man is, you know, he's done it all. He's led his country to international success. He has knocked the World Cup, the Nations League, and he did it all from the sidelines even.
Yeah. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I also need to add the fact that the biggest fan base in the world is currently against you. And you wanted this because you went into an interview hoping something would happen. And I feel like that was Ronaldo's plan. You can't say what you said and expect to still be a Man United player. I feel like he got what he wants. So now he needs to justify it on the pitch, because that's the only way. He's not going to have another interview for a while. Yeah. He needs to step onto the pitch and say, look, this is why I said what I said, and this is why I feel like Man United will miss me as their top goal scorer last season, and this is what I could do for another club. I feel like he's got something to prove. I'm only putting Portugal in the same conversation with Brazil because of him. And I feel like Brazil have the quality. Chad, we just went through the whole squad of 23, but they simply don't have a Ronaldo, and that's what Portugal have. So I think it's between those two.
I think you actually asked and answered your question. And it comes back to, does he still have it? You know, he'll never have to prove anything. But it's like, does he still have it? For me personally, I think he's off to Bayern Munich. I think that Choupo-Moting is leading the line for them at this time of recording.
He's doing pretty well, I must say. He's no Cristiano Ronaldo. Exactly. I suppose we can say that about every player. He's good, but he's no Cristiano Ronaldo. Look, I would like Cristiano Ronaldo to have to silence his critics. He's football critics. I'm not talking about guys who don't like Ronaldo.
Because some guys don't like Ronaldo because they like Messi,
which is kind of ridiculous. But if you love football, you love Cristiano Ronaldo and you love Messi. That's just my take on it. But I would like to see Ronaldo, silence these critics and, just show his quality. I don't believe that. Look, he's certainly past his prime, but I still think that there's plenty left in the tank.
Just to get back on the universe's good side. I feel like it's what football means.
We don't look, even if we don't like Cristiano Ronaldo, we don't want to see a player of that caliber go out like this,
So Chad, you said Brazil will win the World Cup. I've said Brazil will win the World Cup. Desh,
I'm saying Brazil won't win the World Cup.
we need a clearer answer. Netherlands,
for me, they are looking like they were looking very bad actually against Senegal, but they came away with a 2-0.
Yeah.
I think they were very late goals, unconvincing performance.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Just on the Ronaldo, just like to add my 2 cents. I really hope he doesn't throw that armband, because I've seen him throw the captain's armband way too many times for my liking, and it really is like.
So
just unfair.
His legacy is already tarnishing in Desha's mind.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I've watched him.
If he scores a goal and throws the
you guys have seen, but it's quite, it just really irks me, when he when he disrespects the club or like the country or like his teammates like that,
Yeah.
But yeah, just on your that note there.
I need an answer. Who's going to win the World Cup? Netherlands. I know you understand.
Not Brazil. Not Brazil, isn't a team.
Maybe Netherlands.
I knew I'd get it out of you. That's all we have time for. We hope you are out there enjoying the 2022 FIFA World Cup. If you like Chad and I, back Brazil all the way. I mean, you still got time to back them in a couple more games and as an outright winner. And if you're on the fence, like Desh, I mean, play around with your multiples. Include Netherlands in them.
Or the Iranian scorer.
There you go.
And I think that's all we have time for, gentlemen. Until next week, then.
Cheers, guys. Enjoy the football.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.